Chapter 32. Yasna, 8. Yasna stepped around the corpse of an assassin, waving away the soldier who tried to shield her from the scene of death. She held up her dress, stepping over the pool of blood, and pushed her way into the king's quarters. A royal captain approached, but Nell Shendon cut him off, whispering quietly to the man and sending him away. Elokar sat on his audience throne, leaning forward in thought, his expression dark. He was unwounded. The assassins had reached his outer hallway, but a disturbance raised by Renarin had alerted his guards to the danger in time. Nanava had failed. Yasna's eyes thinned as she focused on the queen, sitting on a stool at the king's side, a hand resting on his arm in mock sympathy. Yasna had been too slow, but Dalinar's sons had proven themselves true to the honor their father had taught them. Meridas stood at the side of the room, speaking with Balinmar and several shard-bearers, displaying a proper look of outrage at the night's events. She even heard him give a moan of disappointment that he hadn't arrived in time to help Arador fight. Balinmar met Yasna's eyes with a relieved gaze. He thought that the threat was over. He had been fooled, as she nearly had been. Elokar looked up as he noticed Yasna.
"He shall pay for this," the queen said. "I knew Jezan Rosh was insubordinate, but I had hoped he would see reason. I should have listened more carefully to Balinmar's warnings."
Yasna shot a look at Nell Shendon, who was still trying to convince the guard captain to leave them alone with the king. He appeared to be having little success.
"Elokar," Yasna said, "we need to talk."
The king frowned.
"Surely you don't expect me to ignore an attempt on my life? Jezan Rosh's own shard bearers tried to kill me tonight."
"There is more to this attempt on your life than you know, my king," Yasna said. "Dismiss the others. We must speak in private."
Elokar paused, sitting upright in his throne. Eventually he waved the guard captain toward him and gave the man instructions in a low voice. The captain obviously didn't like what he heard, but he bowed and waved the guards and other nobility to follow him out. The people trailed out, a questioning Balinmar included. Yasna shot him a reassuring glance.
"Meridas, you stay," Elokar commanded.
Meridas nodded and remained where he was. Nanava also made no move to leave, and the king made no move to dismiss her. Yasna waited expectantly, her mouth a thin line, but the king met her gaze defiantly. Finally, she walked forward, grabbing Elokar by the arm. He resisted at first, then sighed and let her pull him over to the side of the room, out of Nanava's earshot. The queen watched them with curious eyes, but remained by the throne.
"Where are Arador and Renarin?" Yasna asked quietly, folding her arms as Nell Shendon closed the doors, then walked over to keep a wary eye on Meridas.
"Arador was wounded," Elokar said. "He's in the care of the palace healers. I sent Renarin to Kolinar to speak with his father. Our uncle has grown tired of war. Surely you've seen it. If Dalinar is going to be persuaded to support me against Jezan Rosh, he will need the word of his sons on what happened this night."
"My lord," Yasna said, uncertain where to begin. She eyed Meridas, who lounged against a pillar on the side of the room. What would be the best way to explain?
"Brother," she said, "I think Meridas might have had something to do with the attack tonight."
"What?" Elokar asked with amusement. "What possible reason could he have for such an act?"
Yasna flushed.
"I think he and your wife might be seeing each other, Elokar," she said. "We need to discuss this in—"
Elokar laughed, cutting her off. He glanced toward Nanava, who was still watching them with a curious expression.
"She thinks you and Meridas are lovers," Elokar told her in a loud voice.
The queen chuckled in amusement, and Elokar turned back to Yasna.
"Really, Yasna,
I don't have time for your paranoia, especially after Jezzan Rosh's assassins.
I don't think Jezzan Rosh sent those men tonight, Yasna said, too loudly.
Nanava looked back toward them at the sound, then rose to wander toward the two.
What?
Elokar asked with a snort. You think his shard-bearers acted on their own volition?
Yasna had no choice but to continue.
Those weren't Jezzan Rosh's shard-bearers, she said. The men he sent were killed last night, on their way to the first city. Their blades were stolen, and their entourage was replaced with assassins.
Elokar moved to open his mouth, but Yasna cut him off.
I have proof, she said sharply. As we speak, my other guard captain is delivering a captive to the royal dungeon. The man can authenticate my words. Once you hear what he has to say, you'll realize that Jezzan Rosh was not behind the attempt on your life. The true assassins are your wife and Meridas.
Elokar glanced toward his wife, who had paused a short distance away, her expression dark.
Nanava has been delivering large sums of money to the false company run by the assassins, Yasna explained, gaining momentum as she saw guilt in Nanava's eyes. She hired them to have you killed and implicate Jezzan Rosh.
Elokar's mood became troubled, and he stood for a moment, thoughtful. Finally, he looked up at Nanava, his face angered.
I thought you were more cautious than this.
You have no idea how cautious I was, Nanava said. Your sister is just inhumanly nosy. I warned you she would be trouble.
Yasna felt a sharp sense of shock creep up her spine. She looked from Elokar to his wife, then back again.
By the winds. You knew?
Elokar's look was confirmation enough.
But Nanava and Meridas, Yasna said. What about them?
Elokar chuckled. The sound, cold rather than mirthful, made Yasna shiver.
That part, dear sister, you contrived on your own.
You knew,
Yasna mumbled, stunned.
The assassins were never meant to succeed. They were to fight their way here, where you could pretend to defeat them on your own. That's why the assassins took the bodies of the two shard-bearers with them, so that you would have corpses to show for the apparent attempt on your life.
Elokar nodded.
The rumors, Yasna said. You made them. You used Balin Mar somehow. You led him along, knowing the man would be eager to prove his use to you.
Balin Mar is a link to my father, Elokar said. If I can claim to be acting on information the old fool helped provide, I can gain the support of the more traditional elements of the kingdom.
Everything crumbled around her.
Elokar. Why?
She whispered. The king regarded her sufferingly.
You yourself told me that the noblemen have grown tired of war, Yasna. Jezzan Rosh needs to be dealt with, but I've known for some time that gathering support against him would be difficult. The nobility needed to be given a little nudge to help them along.
Yasna felt like collapsing. She stumbled weakly, leaning back against the stone wall.
You've always underestimated me, Elokar said quietly. You always assumed that I couldn't rule alone. You claimed to love me, but with that love, you presumed to control my court on my behalf. You never stopped to think that maybe your help wasn't needed, nor was it appreciated.
Elokar turned and nodded toward the other end of the room.
Yasna spun, just in time to see Meridas jump forward.
Nelshendon reacted belatedly. He had been watching the king with amazed eyes. Nelshendon turned, just in time for Meridas to ram a small dagger into his chest. The soldier gasped once, then Meridas placed a hand over the man's mouth, keeping him from yelling. That didn't stop Yasna.
No!
She screamed, rushing forward.
Meridas released Nelshendon's mouth and snapped his hand forward, grabbing Jasnah by the shoulder. He held her carefully, not hurting her, but keeping her at bay as he pulled the dagger free. Nelshendon slumped to the ground. No guards came at her call. Elokar must have ordered them to remain outside, despite what they might hear. Meridas released Jasnah, and she fell to her knees beside Nelshendon, watching even as the light fled from his eyes, his mouth open, his body twisted in pain. "Nelshendon," she whispered. "He knew far too much," Elokar said, approaching his chair and seating himself again. "Besides, his affection for you was unseemly. I will send you a new guard as a wedding gift, a man with a little more rank and experience." Jasnah reached forward, resting her hand on the side of Nelshendon's dead face. She would not cry. She survived as she had taught herself long ago, during her days in Thelena. She took all of the grief, guilt, and pain and crammed it into the piece of ice within her. She did not shake or weep. She simply looked up through cool eyes at the man who was her brother. "I will not forget this, Elokar." "Bah," the king said with a wave of his hand. "Spare me your preaching, Jasnah. You do not know what I know about Jezenrosh. The man needs to be stopped. Our kingdom depends upon my ability to act before he is ready. Meridas, take your betrothed to her rooms and see that men you trust are posted at her door. Then seek out her second captain and his captive. Make certain their knowledge dies with them." Jasnah did not turn her gaze from Elokar as she rose. She watched him, eyes locked on his face, forcing herself to see the mistake she had made. Gone was the boy she had given love and protection. In his place was a man who deserved neither. Elokar turned away, a twinkle of shame in his eyes, as Meridas forcibly led Jasnah out into the hallway.